What happens when you rent a new house and find out that it's haunted? Well, you break the lease and you get out.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and we love to hear your ghost stories, so share them with us. Call in anytime at 855-853-4802. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like an ad-free version of the show along with the advanced episodes, access to our archive, become a premium subscriber. You could do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days free if you go that route. Also, patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. My sister, Kathy Gordon.
Hello.
We have both lived in haunted houses before. And I will say this. If you rent a house and you find out it's haunted, it's not always that easy of breaking a lease and moving out, because a lot of times that's all the money you had. You know, by the time you pay first and last month's rent, your deposit, all that stuff. And the money, you broke a lease once and it about broke you. Like, it was a lot of money to get out of
the lease. It is a lot of money. It absolutely is. And it reminds me of that time that when my husband and I, my ex-husband, we're not married anymore, but we had our first little house, and it was just this little old house that we lived in. Like, I kept hearing a lot of times it would sound like somebody was maybe in the basement hammering, or there'd be thump, 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 you know, on a wall. And I'd go into it seemed to come from this extra bedroom, and I'd go in there, nothing there. Right. And I'd go back out in the room, and then pretty soon I'd hear in the room again, it'd be like thump, thump, thump. I never really saw anything, but you always felt like something was in there. Right. Well, we eventually, you know, moved to a bigger house and decided to keep that one as a rental. That's why I'm thinking about this. And we rented to this family. And one day the family came over and they said, we need you to get rid of the ghosts.
Yeah, and that's easy.
We were like, you know, I'm just standing there dumbfounded because I believe it, right? I totally believe her that she says there's ghosts in it. How she wants us to get rid of them, I don't know. My husband just said, there is a Catholic church up the street. There's a priest. He will be able to fix this for you. We can't do it or whatever. But when they moved out, a few months later, they moved out. They had put like all this stuff, like chicken bones, like the wishbones were hanging in the windows, and there was garlic in the windowsills, and there was all of this stuff. And you could tell she was really afraid. You can be caught in a rental that's haunted and pretty scary. And like you said, what do you do?
What do you do?
And we were kind of like, we don't even know what to do from the other side.
This story is about that. So it says, hi, okay. I love your show. I have two stories that stick out in my mind as happened to me. The first takes place in August 2011 in St. Anne, St. Louis, Missouri. So St. Anne, St. Louis, that must be like a little part of St. Louis, I'm going to guess. I'll bet it is.
It
says, my best friend, my daughter and I rented a two-bedroom house after moving to the area from Arizona. The first thing I noticed was that the light in the basement would never shut off, even if one of us shut it off. We just stopped trying to turn it off after a few weeks. One night, my daughter was in bed as she had school the next day. My best friend and I were watching TV. We both heard shuffling on the carpet back towards the bedrooms. I turned to tell my daughter to get back in bed, but halfway through that sentence, we realized no one was there. About 15 minutes later, my daughter came out complaining that the bottom of her sliding door closet was banging at the bottom. She slept on the couch that night. A few nights later, my daughter was playing in her room, and my friend and I were enjoying a nice summer evening outside on the porch. She was standing against her car, which gave her a clear shot of the living room, and I was sitting on the steps with my back to the door. There is a distinct squeaky spot just as you walk in the door that anytime anyone walked in, it would squeak. We both heard the squeak. I turned to see what my daughter wanted, and she wasn't there. No one was. I turned to my friend, and she turned white and said, did you just see that? And I said, no, what? And she said, mm-hmm. she saw a black figure with a long black trench coat on duck behind the door. The hallway to our bedrooms always had a feeling of dread and was just scary. My friend moved out soon after and went back to Illinois. Can't say I blame her. I stayed a few more weeks and experienced a glass flying off the counter in the kitchen with no one around it, being scared just being in my bedroom, kitchen cabinets banging, a plethora of activities. I finally decided just to break the lease and go back to Arizona, which I did in September of 2011. So she only made it a month.
Wow.
My second story takes place on October 7th, 2017 at work. I work for a company that takes care of adults with all types of developmental disabilities. And while I don't work in the residential homes, I do visit quite often. One of my favorite clients was diagnosed with cancer at the end of July. Her health declined very rapidly, and by October, she was near the end. Now, she was deaf and blind, but very smart. She knew who her staff was by their scent and the feel of their hands. I got the call that she was dying and to come and say goodbye. I got there in time. I was able to say goodbye and held her hand and stroked her hair as she took her last breath. She was surrounded by her staff, my boss, and me. She passed away peacefully October 7th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. My boss and I were talking and just sitting with her until the coroner could get there. And I said that she was finally able to hear music and was probably dancing. We used to dance with her when she was healthy. At that moment, I felt a cold touch on my cheek. And a few seconds later, my boss felt the same thing. I truly believe that was my sweet girl giving me a kiss and saying goodbye, and she is free. She said, thank you for your show. I listen to it all day, every day at work, and I got tears in my eyes. That is beautiful.
Oh, that was.
I like to think that's the way it happened, too. And I think her being with her at the very end helped her to be able to pass peacefully and with love. I think that's how we all should pass when possible. It's not always possible. But, you know, being surrounded by love and the people you care about and people who care about you. And in a case like this, you know, I do a lot with special needs people and developmental people with developmental disabilities. And, you know, those a lot of times are the people that other people don't understand and they kind of ignore them, which I think is so sad because they're missing out on some incredible people.
Oh,
so
my gosh,
that
yes.
That one touched my heart. The other story, that was a very, I love that there was two completely different stories there. But that first one, there was something going on in that house.
And the word that she used to describe it was a sense of dread. And I think that nailed it, don't you think? Because that is what you feel like. There's this just kind of a dread in you that you think, I can remember as a kid at when we lived in that haunted house, thinking with that dread, I have to go up the stairs. I have to go up to my room and I don't want to go up the stairs. And so you would do it, but then like you would go really as fast as you could, right? And then you get whatever you want and you go down the stairs absolutely as fast as you could.
Because then it always felt like somebody was right behind you.
Exactly. You know, or I even had the sense that someone might push me down the stairs, you know, so that I get what she means, that sense of dread that
and
you think,
know,
oh, I don't want to do that.
That was pretty heavy duty if she only lived there a month and then moved all the way back to Arizona. She's like, hell with this.
Well, her friend made it, what, a week?
Yeah, and went back to Illinois.
I'm back to Illinois, you know, that's enough of this stuff.
What sucks is when you're in a situation like that and you can't get out of the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do have second story here because that one was pretty short. You want to hear the second one?
Okay.
Okay, here it goes.
I do.
My grandfather died 2 years ago after a prolonged 16-year battle with Parkinson's. That's a lot. That is a lot.
That is rough.
I was lucky to see him a few months before he passed so he could see my children. They were then almost 2 and 4, and he seemed confused at this visit. Previously, he had been delighted in my son's activity level, and this time he didn't seem to notice much going on around him. During this visit, he was very out of it, and I had to tell him who my daughter was. No surprise, there were 6 great-grandkids there, 4 and under. At this point, we knew we didn't have much longer, and he spent most of his time in a nursing home due to a few bad falls, but he would come home for visits. My grandfather was very quiet and very kind. He died a few days after Christmas that year, and soon after his funeral, I had a very vivid dream that it was summer, sunny, and so beautiful. We were out in his front yard admiring his flowers. He was an avid gardener. At the end of the dream, surrounded by my kids, he said, "Well, I'll be seeing you again." I woke up crying. I never remember my dreams, but this one was so bright and vivid, it felt different. It felt like he was really talking to me. I told my mother, his daughter, about the dream, and she told me that she had also had a dream about him a little before he died. She was holding my daughter in the dream, and he was commenting on her beauty. Soon after his death, my grandmother found his draft papers laying under their bed. That was very odd because my grandmother's house is neat as a pin, obsessively so. She was very shook up. He was in the Army in the late 40s, so they certainly hadn't been there for that many decades. She also had a few odd phone calls since his death with his name on the caller ID, like he is calling their own number from their house. No one was on the line. I feel like he was telling me that he is okay now and I will see him again someday. It really gave me peace. Whenever I think about the dream, I tear up again. I think that is one of those dreams that she had and that her mother had that were a visitation dream.
I agree 100%. Because she's absolutely right. It's a totally different feeling than a regular dream. You wake up and you think, no.
It feels different.
They were there.
It feels real. Mm-hmm. It feels like you just saw them. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you had this experience. And she said in there, it felt like he was really talking to me.
Yeah. And you know what's beautiful is he was able to say, "I'll see you again," and kind of give her a little goodbye with that, you know, promise of I'll be there and see you again, where he hadn't been able to do that probably mm-hmm. for quite a while.
Right.
You know, before he passed, it wasn't something she was able to have, you know, from him.
Some peace.
And so he came back to give it to her.
And I think the grandmother finding his enlistment papers or whatever they were.
Yeah.
In her house. You know, I think things like that do pop up. And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know how this got here. I can't explain how this got here. But for some reason, he wanted her to see that. And maybe maybe he qualified or she qualified at that point for some sort of benefits. I don't know. Maybe it was like, hey, don't forget, you get survivor's benefits here or something.
And by setting it out, she knew, right, that he was there. Uh-huh. This is something important.
The caller ID thing, that I don't know about, but that's kind of...
You know, I used to hear about that. I remember hearing about that a lot more when we had landlines, that people would pick up the phone and it would be kind of like, staticky. And then they would hear like something from a dead loved one. It's not something I hear people talking about with their cell phones, but I remember like as a kid hearing people say that these sorts of stories about getting a bizarre phone call.
And, you know, he wants her to know that he still loves her.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's a little creepy, but it's sweet all at the same time. You know what I mean?
You know what? I love it. Like I've had a few instances where maybe my dad or my grandmother, who I was real close to too, something happened like that. Like I felt like they were giving me a message. And yeah, I suppose creepy, but it made me feel good. Like they're still somewhere, mm-hmm. right? They're not just gone, right? But they are manifest somewhere somehow. That they can touch me. A little unnerving, yes, but I think we all have lost somebody that we just need that sign from for reassurance.
Yeah, that little touch. Get that. I get that. If you like the show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Go to applepodcast.com, try it 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. From all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.